Day 359, Monday, February 5th, 2 Chronicles 5, 2 Chronicles 6 1, 11 and 1 Kings 8 1 to 21. 2 Chronicles 5 1 to 14 NKJV. So all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the furnishings, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, in Jerusalem, that they might bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with the king at the feast, which was in the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon, and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark, were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles of the ark could be seen from the holy place, in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they had come out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves, without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. 2 Chronicles 6 1-11 NKJV. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house, and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hands what he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there, nor did I choose any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel.' Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless you shall not build the temple, but your son who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name.' So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I have put the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord which he made with the children of Israel." 1 Kings 8 1-21 NKJV. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark. Then they brought up the Ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon, and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place, in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke, the Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house, and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, and with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless you shall not build the temple, but your son who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I have made a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord which he made with our fathers, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading program states, of all the days that ever passed upon the earth, surely the day that Solomon dedicated the temple must rank as one of the most awesome. The temple was a magnificent creation, with stunning gold, silver, bronze, jewels, marble, engraving and woodwork adorning its every feature. To be in its courts must have been a breathtaking experience. The dedication of this extraordinary edifice, every aspect of which was masterfully designed to express and extol the magnificence of the one who dwelt within, was an occasion that called for the greatest pomp and ceremony. To the dedication Solomon invited Israel's most important dignitaries. Two groups are specifically mentioned in 1 Kings 8:1, the elders of Israel and the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel. Some have concluded that these two groups are distinct, representing the government of Israel in its national and tribal components. Those with this view see the elders of Israel as the members of the governing body in Israel's national government, functioning, it is surmised, somewhat like a House of Lords or Senate. According to the same view, the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel, apparently one from each tribe, are seen as the senior members of the individual tribal governments. We know for sure that Israel's government was not an absolute monarchy. It was constitutional, that is, rather than the king's word being the highest law of the land, his own powers derived from the written law of Moses as given by God, to which he was himself answerable. It also appears that Israel's government may have been a federal monarchy, the word federal describing a system wherein separate states are united under one central authority while retaining certain regulatory powers. The dedication of the temple occurred in the feast of the seventh month, 1 Kings 8:2, 2 Chronicles 5:3. This may seem somewhat odd, as the temple construction ceased in the eighth month, 1 Kings 6:38. This means that the temple stood unoccupied for nearly a year before it was dedicated. Why did Solomon choose to wait 11 months before dedicating this magnificent edifice? It may be that all of the temple furnishings were not yet complete. Of course, it may also be that everything was complete and that Solomon simply waited intentionally. The Bible doesn't spell out the reason for the delay. Whatever the case, it is interesting that the dedication took place in the feast of the seventh month. But just which feast was this? The Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Eighth Day, also known as the Last Great Day, all of which fall during that same month? See Leviticus 23. It should be noted that only one of God's annual festivals is elsewhere actually called simply the Feast of the Lord, i.e., the Feast of Tabernacles, see Leviticus 23:39. A seven-day festival, it was clearly the major feast of the seventh month. Yet 1 Kings 8:65-66 records that the dedication of the temple was 14 days. Strangely, however, it says that the people were sent away on the eighth day. As it makes no sense for this to mean the eighth day out of 14, these verses must mean that the 14th day of the dedication feast was the eighth day, that is, Tishri 22 on the Hebrew calendar, or what we now often refer to as the eighth day, and that the people were dismissed at the end of that day. In fact, 2 Chronicles 7:9-10 states that the people observed the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the feast for 7 days, finally being sent away on the 23rd day of the seventh month, which must mean the very beginning of that day at sunset, which would also be the end of the 22nd, i.e., the end of the eighth day. Thus, the Feast of the Dedication clearly began prior to the Feast of Tabernacles, with the entire period apparently being looked upon as one expanded Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the Kingdom of God and is, therefore, eminently the Kingdom Feast, looking to the future enthronement of the Divine King, Jesus Christ, and the inauguration of the government of God on earth. Thus, the enthronement symbolism is fitting for the enthronement of God in His temple. In a stupendous display, the glory of the Lord, an awesome glowing cloud, filled the house of the Lord, 1 Kings 8:11. As a cloud had covered the tabernacle and God's glory had filled it when it was inaugurated, Exodus 40:34, so now a cloud filled the temple. This visible presence of God's dwelling with His people, sometimes called the Shekinah, indwelling, glory, gave the people assurance and incentive for obedient and holy living. Nelson Study Bible, note on 1 Kings 8:10-11. As for Solomon's speech, given before he passionately prays that God will always hear and respond to the prayers of His people, he recounts the promise God made to David in 2 Samuel 7, where God foretold an enduring dynasty descended from David. Solomon specifically identifies himself as the son who, as God promised, would build the temple. This speech, divinely sanctioned and preserved for all time by God in Scripture, verifies that the promise made to David in 2 Samuel 7 refers to Solomon, the immediate son of David. It invalidates attempts to spiritualize the promises of 2 Samuel 7 regarding David's house, that is, mistakenly claiming they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Although Jesus is building God's church, God's spiritual temple, nevertheless the promise made by God to David through the prophet Nathan referred to a literal and immediate son of David, and that David's dynasty would continue forever from that time. While there is likely duality in 2 Samuel 7, the primary and intended meaning of the promise to David concerns a successor son and a literal physical temple, and a literal dynasty beginning at that time that would never end. End. 1 Kings 8, verse 9, in Hebrews 9:4, we are told that inside the ark were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. The Albert Barnes commentary states, comparing this statement with Heb 9:4, it would seem that Solomon, now that the sacred chest had reached its final resting place, and stood in a large chamber surrounded by tables 2 Ch 4-8, removed the pot of manna and the rod from the interior, and set them elsewhere in the Holy of Holies. And, the Cambridge Bible commentary adds this, the Old Testament narrative, Exo 16:34, says that the pot of manna was laid up before the testimony and the same expression is used, Num 17:10, concerning Aaron's rod. This does not define whether they were put inside or on the outside of the ark, but it is most probable that during the time when the ark was moved from place to place they were kept inside it, but as soon as it was placed within the temple they were removed, for the tables of stone were alone intended to be stored in the ark, being the testimony, Exo 25:16, which God had given to Israel. The other things would still be before the testimony if they were placed outside. End.